Mr. Gary's not going to get off that easy. We got to sing happy birthday. We got it, don't we? So his birthday's coming up. So happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Gary. Happy birthday to you. All right. All right. Well, happy 4th of July coming up, everybody. All of our veterans, all of those folks that are doing first responders, military, we honor you and thank you for all you continue to do. So, yep, very good. Well, hallelujah. Well, tonight, you know, I just want to talk about resting in the Lord. You know, it's good just to rest in Him. And, you know, I always loved how Kenneth Hagin, you know, well, when I was at Rhema, one of the, did prayer school, talked about different things. He said, first of all, he's like, I want to pray, pay, and obey. You know, what you're doing, you want to be involved, you want to sow, and then also, you know, we want to obey. And also, too, you know, there's a God side and a man side. And I think we get stressed out when we're trying to do God's job a lot. You know, we get stressed out, we get upset instead of resting in Him. And I think the more I've been around the sun, or if you're flat earth people, whatever you are, I don't know, I don't really care. Doesn't determine whether you're going to go to heaven or anything. But the older I get, the more I just think about, you know what, how do I rest in God more? How do I connect with Him? How do I know Him more? How do I just rest in Him? Because the things I thought about a year ago that I don't think about now, right? Even this spring, things that I was concerned about, or, you know, dealing with Adrian and I, it's like those things are gone. And so, you know, we look at in our nation, our life, whatever, things can change just like that. And to know that God cares for us is very, very important. Because, I mean, you know, for some reason, gas just doesn't, they don't give that stuff away. You know, we were talking earlier today, and the kids were talking about, like, you know, I just think President Trump should just make free cookies for everybody. I'm like, yeah, okay, right. Just everything's free for everybody. Well, that would be communism to an extent, or some kind of weird version of it. But the point is, it, you know, the weirder things get in life, we can still rest in Him. If we look at Philippians chapter 4, and it's just good to know that, you know what, this is when Oral Roberts would get on TV, and he'd have so many people giving him so much hate mail about saying God is good. Can you believe that? That people actually get mad because you say God's good. I remember his son, Richard Roberts, getting daily fights, getting beat up all the time because of his dad. Because he actually had the audacity to say that God is good. People would get so mad, and then people would get healed and delivered. People would just get so mad. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, and it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Sometimes it's just not easy to rejoice. You know, you look at the bank, you look at your bank account sometimes, and you wish it was a little fatter than what it is. And you look at, you know, maybe sometimes in life here. But we can, the Bible talks about no matter what it is we're doing, we can rejoice. And then in verse 2, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Here we go. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. Don't be worried about things. Don't be concerned about things. But in everything by prayer and supplication, here we go, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. You know, Kenneth Hagin said something that was really good years ago, or when he was alive, and he was talking about if you really have faith for something, you're going to end with thanksgiving. You're going to be thankful for those things. You're going to be thankful. And weeks ago, Adrian and I were believing for something, you know, and just believing for a situation to turn around, and it did. And my response was, man, I got this laundry list of other things I need. You know, you ever done that? It was like, good, praise God, but we got all these other things, God. And the Lord was kind of resting me. He said, no, camp out on that. Stop. Spend time praising and thanking me for that thing I did for you. Because I was kind of like, praise God. Okay, now next God, we got to, no, I'm going down the grocery list. You know, I'm going down the list of things that we need or things to change. And sure enough, the Lord arrested me and said, wait a minute. Thanksgiving is a type of worship and it's praise. And so, me, and this is again, but you look at everything in the Bible, there's an order to it often, right? You're going to see order. You're going to see certain things in the Bible. God put them in there for a reason, often in order. But if you look at this scripture, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything. So again, we need to cast our cares on him, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. So we thank him before we receive it. Verse 7. Now this is something that many people don't experience, but it is what? The peace of God which passes all understanding. It's hard for some people to, that's why the peace of God is one of the most vital things in life. Hell, there is no peace of God. And you just think about your life without the peace of God, then what? And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What's one of the things that gets, that can get your mind out of control? It's just not having peace. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We can create scenarios in our head, right? I've known people in the past that, man, they can get paranoid in a hurry. And, you know, I've had friends and people that I've known too, they just all of a sudden, everything blows up in their mind, right? Somebody looks at them, well, I know what's going on because they looked at me this certain way. No, maybe they just had an itchy eye, right? But all of a sudden, we've created some kind of a conspiracy in our head because they looked at it a certain way. They did something a certain way, right? I mean, you know that, like, all the social media that can mess with people really bad, right? Well, they didn't like this. Well, they didn't like that. And then you psychoanalyze everything, right? Somebody, I'm not really on there that much or much of anything, but you post something, well, so-and-so didn't like my post. Well, so-and-so liked it. Well, so-and-so did this. So-and-so responded back. And we can read into everything. What's that? That's the devil's playground. To get you distracted, right? To ruin your day. Again, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. We don't even know if that's true or not. We're basing all of our assumptions off of life. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are good, report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's look at the Romans 14:17. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. Guess what? If you don't have joy, you don't have God. Let's just get right down to it. If you have got strife, worry, anxiety, those are not byproducts of the Holy Spirit. Joy and peace, right? Colossians 3:15 through 17. Peace is a vital part of our Christian walk. The peace of God is supernatural as well. You look at the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians, the fifth chapter, love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, all of those, all of the fruits of the Spirit, they are characteristics and byproducts of your born-again spirit. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. You ever notice the peace and thankfulness go hand in hand? Like last week we talked about, often the love of God and thankfulness and some of those byproducts. There's always certain elements that the Lord talks about. There's hand in hand. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, and in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, I always try to get up every morning and say, like, I'll get up, I'll be in the shower, and I'll say things like, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This week I had a bunch of stuff going on. And you ever one of those days where you like just dread going to work the next day? Or you just dread doing stuff, right? And you just know that, oh boy, this is not good. I just know all the things on my to-do list, and I've got this, and because that's another thing, just not having the peace. But you know, when you whether it's your job, if you're in school, no matter what it is, dealing with, you have this, played it all on the night before, right? That's where people, they don't sleep very well because they've blown things up way out of proportion in their mind, right? I'm thinking to myself, you know, I had a day this week because I had, you know, re-entry this week from vacation and time off, and Monday morning I'm like, my head popped off the pillow and I'm like, this is the day the Lord's made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. I've been gone for like 2.5, almost 3 weeks. It's going to be a great day, okay? There will be no drama in my life today. Right? There's going to be no dumpster fires today, right? And it went well. It went well. So it actually took me like 2 or 3 days to dig out from everything, because then I, you know, some employees I had to train and had all these mentor sessions I had to do and all this other stuff. So I'm like, okay, I don't really have to work today. One of those things. It was kind of like, I just sit back and just be a soundboard for people and give guidance. But the point was, it was like, oh, this isn't too bad. But I was worked up in my head the whole time. It's going to be a dumpster fire today, right? Because those re-entries when you get back, it's just, you just don't know what to expect. Actually, it was a pretty good day. Right, because I chose the first thing I said when I got out of the, because my flesh was like, today is going to be awful. This is going to be and my mouth, and that's another teaching. My mouth and the Holy Spirit said, no, speak your words over today. Declare peace over yourself today. And guess what? I did it, and it was peaceful. It was a good day. Because we could just open that door up and begin to speak things. And guess what? What happens? Even though it may not be bad, we can work ourselves up into a frenzy, into panic, into offense, into whatever it is the devil has for us, if we'll go down that road and let him do that. I've done that too many times, and it's just like, wait a minute, I don't need to do this. I speak peace today. Today is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And then verse 16 was very important. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I remember being in Brother Kenneth Hagin's class, Spiritology, and some of the classes with him. And of course, Adrian and I, you know, when we were, listening to his materials, or, you know, we go travel and see Kenneth Hagin or something like that. But I remember every day, 2 Thessalonians 5:23, talking about the tricotomy man, the spirit, soul, and the body. And he said, I am free for from the law of repetition, meaning he repeated things over and over and over again. And sometimes when, you know, people say, well, you need to study the word, you need to do things, just because you have it heard, you've heard it once, doesn't mean we've got it. I remember just sitting there reading Mark 11, 20, 22 through 23, sometimes like about 20 times in a row in one day, and I would just meditate, and I would just meditate, and I would just meditate on certain things because I need to get my mind changed. I love it how the Apostle Paul is telling those at Colossae, he says, number one, in verse 15, let the peace of God rule your hearts. And talking about thankfulness. But then he goes into what is the way we're going to do it? We've got to get our mind, get rid of our stinking thinking. Get our mind focused on the Word of God, because He can change things. And then verse 17, and whosoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So again, getting our thinking straight. You know, are you a half empty or a half full person? We look at, in the Amplified Classic, verse 15 says, let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ's rule, act as an umpire continually. I like that. In your hearts. Because we were just reading in prayer earlier. I was reading out of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, talking about the fiery darts coming at you, right? What do we do? The shield of faith. We can put up the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. We got the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is offensive weapon. And what is that? The word. We use the word coming out of our mouth. If we're going to have the peace of God, it's a consistent fight, isn't it? Right? It's something that is consistent all of the time, all of the time, all of the time. You know, I kind of keep track. You know, you ever notice too, I don't really spend a lot of time watching news because I don't believe really about half of it anyway. I just don't. I think there's agendas out there, but I kind of just want to know what's going on. But I don't spend a lot of time meditating on the news. I don't spend a lot of time trying not to do those things because I don't want that garbage in me a lot. You know, there's one thing of you know, understanding some things and just kind of know what's going on. But then there's some details and some things. I'm like, why do I need to meditate on this? You know, there's just some things that you can get yourself into a frenzy or depression or upset, and the whole world's going to fall apart. It's like, wait a minute. God's doing things through people. And I have breath in my lungs, and there are good things that God is still continuing to do. So again, I love this, and it says, act as an umpire continually in your heart. You know, I remember Gary Crowell. He was a minister, of course, you know, talked about him, you know, was the dean of Rhema, but he pastored a church in Mount Pleasant. And of course, you know where what's in Mount Pleasant is the mental institution, right? Well, and then right up the road, they got Fairfield, which is Maharishi International, you know, the college there. And he said, they feed a lot of of people into the mental institution because one of the things, I know I'm not teaching tonight, but one of the things is they open their mind up. And they one of the techniques they do is open their mind up so that they can let just whatever in. Well, that's going to be dangerous. That's very dangerous. That's not right. I'm just going to let anything in. And then what happens is, of course, you know, when you're involved in those things, which you do any kind of occultic or New Age or anything else, you are opening yourself up to demonic activity, right? Now they don't see it as that. They you can call it whatever you want to. You can try to sugarcoat as spirit guides. You can do whatever you want to, but those are demons, because we see John talks about in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, but he talks about if they do not proclaim that Jesus came in the flesh and that he came in the flesh and he is the Son of God. It's the spirit of Antichrist. So what we're seeing is these people, they don't have any control of their mind. They don't. They just let their mind many times wander. Now, again, that's not all other people. There are, you know, some other issues going on. But, and obviously demons involved too, right? And that's one of the things that people, that the enemy can get a hold of people, is because they don't take control over their mind. They're not like the Apostle Paul is sitting here telling those at Kalash in the Amplified, I like this, being an umpire continually, right? I mean, you ever noticed? I remember one time I had a skin rash or something on my arm, told us before, but I lived in Oskaloosa, and we lived on a corner, and just right at the end of the street, there was a doctor or something, and I remember it was a Wednesday, because we had church that night, and I was on praise and worship and everything else too, and he came and looked at something, and he's like, he goes, well, it could be this, it could be this, but it looks like, I mean, it could be AIDS. And I'm like, oh, you know, I was like, I've been tested for this stuff for like life insurance and stuff. I've never had anything like this. And he was like, you know, convinced that that's good. I went home, got horribly sick, could not even get out of bed because my mind just went wacko. I was healthy, like we're sitting here, right? Nothing wrong with me. I got a silly rash and something on my, under my fingernail, and I'm just like, whatever. And all of a sudden, I went from just getting something checked out, maybe some ointment or something, to like, I'm going to be dying of AIDS in the next year or something. And I just went from perfect health to just could not get out of bed. And it was because my mind went wild, right? I just went, I'm going to die. Something's going to happen. You know, great. What's going to happen to Adrian? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, I was just, my mind was just racing. And what happened? Because of worry, I opened myself up to sickness. And what, I just got horribly ill. I didn't go to church that night. I couldn't, I mean, you know, it was ridiculous. And I didn't go back to guy. But the point was, my mind got so out of control, I became ill, I worried, and instead of doing this where I am umpiring my mind, saying, wait a minute here, I haven't been tested for anything. I mean, you know, you ever walk into a doctor, you know, you have something and then, you know, or some little thing, and it's like, well, it could be a zit, or you could have, you know, brain cancer. We're just not sure yet, you know. If that, those doctors, they always do those things, you know, or something, you know. So it's just, and then you walk out and you're like, what happened to me? And we haven't, nothing's tested, nothing is, even, that's not even true. So the point is this, that things can get so out of control with your mind and your thinking that you let the enemy rob your peace of God. And one way to walk in the peace of God is you've got to control your thinking. And again, that's where often a lot of anxiety comes from. I remember just reading this thing in Anxiety, Canadian Anxiety. It was a Canadian thing, and it was talking about a parent of just, you know, these kids are opening themselves up. Parents are seeing that, just, again, making suggestions, and then from that, anxiety opens up to their children. 2 Corinthians 4. And also, too, you know, while you're turning there, COVID was the perfect anxiety, you know, stressor, worry thing. You know, I just remember when COVID came out, it was, what was it, right around January 2020, I think, wasn't it, when that was kind of starting to ramp up? And then, I mean, you know, on the news and everything, they just thought if you tested positive for COVID, I mean, when he'd listen to those things, it was like, you're going to die. You know what I mean? It was this whole thing about, like, you know, you're going to die, and, you know, you're your liver is going to burst into flames, and I mean, it's going to be awful terror. I mean, they were just making it sound like it was a death sentence. And there was so much fear in regards to the COVID that it was absolutely so ridiculous and out of control, right? And it was hyped up so much, and, you know, people were just in fear. And we still see the impacts of some people today. They're still in fear over that. I mean, it is still, even after all of these years, there are some people that, again, didn't control their thinking. And yes, maybe somebody had you know, gotten sick, or maybe they had a family member or somebody that died, and they're still impacted by that fear. And here we go, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, and it says, "In whom the God of this world has blinded," what? "The minds of them which believe not." The world, again, because the world system is, this world is it. It's done, right? A lot of the people, I mean, and again, of course, you know, you want to provide for your family. There's natural things to do. And of course, you got to pay bills and all these other, you know, wonderful things that we're blessed with in this life. But that's all they think about. And they're always concerned. They're listening to the news. They're listening to the things. And they're basing that information, all of their hope is based on, what does the doctor say? You know, what does my finances say? What does my situation say? So who controls the world system? It's the devil. It's not God. Now, God is still, you know, this is his world. It all belongs to him. But the devil has just, let me just say this. Jesus defeated the devil, but the world doesn't know that they've been delivered. And they listen to an illegitimate, someone who has illegitimately taken control. But the enemy is the God of this world, and he lies to people. He creates stressful situations. And it goes on here, and it says, "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And again, how are the minds of the unbelievers blind? They're feeding on the things of the world. What did we just read earlier? That we need to meditate in the Word, spend time with Him, and be thankful, right? The worldly people are not spending time in the Word because they don't believe. In fact, let's go to John chapter 3. Belief is our faith. Belief in Jesus deliver us, and we're saved through faith. We can't do this on our own. People who are in fear and anxiety, they're trying to figure things out on their own all the time, right? Well, if this doesn't happen, then I got to do this, and then I got to do this, and then I got to do this, and then what if this happens, and then, you know. They don't get my car payment, then they'll come and get my car, and I'll lose my job, I'll be in the streets, and I'll die in the gutter, and it's like, John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to, he's talking to Nicodemus here. Nicodemus is a very curious, I like the Chosen. They did a really good job with Nicodemus. You know, Nicodemus is very, very inquisitive and very interested, and he's not like a lot of the other religious folks. He is searching for truth. He's wanting to know things, and he's asking Jesus questions, and this is one of the most, the whole Bible is equally valuable, but this is such a pivotal chapter because Jesus goes into talking about salvation and the relationship between faith and not having faith, right? We think that having faith having faith is the world, you know, it's kind of cute, that's great. Oh, you believe in Jesus, that's great. Jesus here, in, let's start in chapter 14, and it says, and Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man will be lifted up. What was Moses lifting that bronze serpent up? It was for healing, wasn't it? They looked on that, and the Hebrews were healed. And when they believed, when they looked at that, Christ on the cross for our deliverance, right? To be delivered. And then in verse 15, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have an eternal life, right? What? Why do we perish? Is because we don't believe. If we don't believe, we perish. If we believe, we have eternal life. We can also say the same thing about having peace in our life, right? Having the peace of God. If we believe that God is good and his presence can be with us, we're going to have peace. If not, we're not going to have peace. And then obviously, most of us know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Here we go. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, having faith is also knowing the character of God. So having faith is going to deliver us, obviously, you know, faith in Christ. Our faith in Jesus, he's the one that saves us, but that's how we receive it from him, is through faith. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18 is really good here. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now we can also take that other spiritual realms here too, or other spiritual concepts too. If we don't believe that he's a giver of peace, we're not going to receive it, right? If we don't believe he's like Jesus talks about here, if we don't believe that he is a that he's our Savior, we're not going to be saved. If you know, we don't believe that he's not going to be able to help us, then we're not going to invite him into our lives to help us. One thing as we close here, I remember Kenneth Hagin talking about, and again, this is just having the opportunity to see Christ one time where the Lord was showing him something, and he was talking, and while he was talking, a little imp demon jumped in front of him and said, yakety yak. Yeah, was just making all these distractions and making all this smoke appear and everything else. He says, I couldn't hear Jesus. He was talking, and he was, again, talking. And finally, Kenneth Hagin said, he's like, shut up in Jesus' name. And he said, the thing just fell down and whimpered like a little injured rabbit or something. And he said, and get out of here. And he took off. And he said, Lord, how come you didn't do anything about it? He says, well, I couldn't do anything about it. And he goes, no, because he did like three times, you know. He said, no, he says, I thought you said couldn't. I mean, how come you wouldn't do anything about it? And so finally he said, the last time, he said, the Lord got a little irritated with him. He says, no, I said I could not do anything because that's your authority. See, I paid the price at the cross. Now you have to take your authority and you have to step in to do things. The authority that I've given you. And I believe a lot of people are not experiencing joy. They're not experiencing peace because they think that God is just going to do that for them. It's something that we walk in, like the Holy Spirit. We just don't, you know, get saved one day and then we, you know, it's an ongoing thing, right? It's something that if we get born again, great. And it's something that if we get baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in tongues, we're water baptized, those things are great. We need to walk those things out every day, don't we? That's why a lot of people, they say that, well, once saved, always saved. You know, that's wrong. You know, it's kind of like having those, you know, it's the same concept of getting married and then go, okay, we're all done. You know, we've gotten married and now I don't have to talk to you anymore, right? Or oops, we had a baby now. We just leave it at the hospital. It's not our responsibility. No, to have the relationship, to experience the things with God, it's a daily walk that we do, right? And sometimes I get busy in my personal life. I don't get to spend as much time in the Word or do things, or on vacation, I'm driving all day, so maybe I'm listening to something, and I feel terrible on the inside, right? I mean, I do. I feel like, Lord, I let you down. One day, and again, He knows sometimes there are just things in life that happen where it's just like, but I'm trying to fellowship with Him and talk, when everybody else is asleep and I'm driving and I'm talking and I'm meditating, I'm fellowshipping with Him. There's sometimes it's just not going to work out perfect because that's the way life is. But it's something we should want to connect with Him. And because of that, every time, and it's like anything else, when God shows up, these things happen. And I'm going to look at Galatians here really quick. Excuse me. Galatians chapter 5, when the Holy Spirit shows up, these are the things that happen. Because it's fruits of the Spirit, love. There's no love in hell. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such as there is no law. And this is very important too, verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. We have a walk that we need to do. And when we walk with Him, we spend time with Him, we have a relationship with the Lord, these things follow. We can have peace. It's like that old saying, there's no rest for the wicked. Exactly. Because if you are not in His presence, you will not experience those things. And then you don't want the other stuff, right? Verse 19 through 21, that's the bad stuff we don't want. And it's just so sad. I've got family members, I've got friends, I've got, so many people that choose not to, because when you're younger, a lot of the people that I grew up around or everything else too, it's like, it's not cool. Oh, you're spending your Sunday. You're wasting your Sunday on church. You're going on Wednesday night. You're doing this. All these other things. You're a square. No, I want God in my life. Because things can change when God shows up in my life, right? My finances, my relationships, and again, people are people. And that's where, just because we accept Christ and we walk in that, we're still. And I always have people, they always say things like, well, you people that go to church, you're all a bunch of hypocrites. No, actually, you're the hypocrites. We're the ones that have figured out we're incomplete. We need Jesus. We go to church, we study the Word, because we are broken without Him. The people in the world, there's a pride issue there because they think they've got it all under control. They've got it all figured out. No. I know I'm nothing without Jesus. It's all glory be unto Jesus that we can step on the other side and be in heaven with Him someday. It's all Him. It's all His mercy. It's all His grace. It's all His love. It's all His, the gift of salvation, the gift of love. All of these things are Him. They come from Him. They emit from Him. They are from Him. They are part of His DNA. That's part of His, Galatians, 5:22 and 23, they are part of His nature. They just love. And when you around God and you connect with Him and you fellowship with Him and you're thanking Him and you're in His Word, that nature comes on you. And I was just like, Jude 20 says, but you beloved, pray in the Holy Ghost, be filled with the Spirit. We're leaky vessels every day, right? I mean, I get up tomorrow and, I need God again. I'm always connected, the Holy Spirit's on us and in us, You know, the Spirit is always in us. It doesn't mean that we're not, but what it means is we need to be refilled every day. We need to have a consistent pattern or consistent, ritual, not to say it's ritualistic, but it's something that we need every day to connect with the Holy Spirit, to be able to connect with Him so that we can experience joy, we can experience peace in our lives, we can do these things. And what I love that scripture just talked about there in the Amplified, that we can guard our mind. We can guard our mind. Because that's where it's all, the devil's going to attack your mind first. If we can, you know, if he can get control and we can get out of whack with our thinking and get extreme and all these other things, then, you know, it's going to rob our joy. And what is joy? Joy is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That's what gives us strength and peace, is His joy. Not something we manufacture, right? Father, we thank You so much for this time together, Lord Jesus. Lord, tonight, my prayer is that we would experience the love of God and the peace that passes all understanding, Lord, that our hearts and minds would be settled on You. And Jesus, we give You glory and honor tonight. We thank You that You're the one. We praise You so much, Lord, for Your goodness and Your peace, Lord Jesus. No matter what we're going through, Lord, You're there with us, Father, and You're showing us and revealing things to us, Lord God. But we have the peace of God that passes all understanding because You live in us and upon us. In Your name, amen. Amen. Well, have a great 4th, everyone.